This is the Nehi book, Nehemiah. So I was praying about several different messages, and Sunday afternoon I saw something, I read something that really spoke to my heart. In Texas, this relay team, the 400-meter relay team, they won the opportunity to go into state finals. But the thing that happened, though, when they came across the finish line to win, one of the kids held up his finger, and he pointed towards heaven. And some idiot disqualified the whole team. And they have no chance, they had no chance whatsoever to go to the finals. Just because he stuck his finger up, pointed towards heaven. I found the message that I want to bring tonight. Nehemiah chapter 1. We find here in Nehemiah, he might be called several things before the evening's over, but in Nehemiah, we find here this young man, he was in the king's palace. He was taking care of things. And he was the wine server for the king. And he was in Shushan, the palace. And he was waiting on the king. And he came into the king's one day. And the king asked him, "Why is your countenance fallen?" Now, you can read all of this. I'm just covering it real fast to get on with the message. So he said, "Why is your countenance fallen?" He told me. He told him, he says, well, let's look at it. In chapter 1, verse 1, "Then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." The gates are burned in America today, my friends. I want to ask you this one question. You don't have to answer it to me, but answer it to yourself. Have you saw the needs of America? Have you seen the gates are down? Have you seen the condition that America is in today? Nehemiah saw the condition it was in. And that's the title of my sermon tonight, "The Gates Are Burned." And they're burned in America. And we can see here that Nehemiah saw the needs. He saw the needs of his country. And listen, my friends, we as individual Christians, we need to see the needs of our country. And there's only one need our country has, and that is Jesus Christ. And we must give them Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do it as individuals, get our hearts right with God, get the fact that going on, and we'll see here just in a minute how Nehemiah did all the things he did concerning what he'd done there in Judea. So let's look on again. And he said in verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity," I just read that, "and the gates thereof are burned down. And it came to pass, when I heard these words." Now, this is what Nehemiah did. He saw the needs. He said, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and" what? "Prayed." Prayed before the gods of heaven, the God of heaven. That is what our needs are today. We need to sit down and see the needs that America has today. Our gates are burned down. Our walls are crumbled. We are on a losing thing. When I saw that thing on wherever I saw it, read it on Sunday, that burnt me up. I mean, it made me angry. And I said, this something has got to be done. And we as Christians, we sit back doing absolutely nothing. Oh, but I go to church every Sunday morning. I go to church every Sunday night. I go to church every Wednesday night. Big deal. What have you done in between those times? What have I done in between those times? What have we done to win America to Christ? Oh, but we give to missionaries. God don't want our money. God doesn't need our money. God needs our heart. God needs us to do the job that he's called us to do. Nehemiah saw the needs in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. They shared the need. Now, in chapter 2, look in verse 17 and 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. I hope you can keep up with me tonight. I hope I can keep up with what I'm saying. But anyway, you just pray and listen to what he said. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no more be approached. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which go good upon me, as unto the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, my friends, there's no greater work than God's work. We need to get along with God in prayer. I mean, we have prayer meetings here. We pray for everybody. But have we really sat down and honestly prayed for America? Have we done that? Have we prayed for this, not the religion of America? America's got too much religion now. America needs Jesus. And we are the ones that have him in our hearts, and we need to share him with others that the gates may be built up. Now look how he done this. In chapter 1, verse 5, and he said, I beseech thee. Now this is Nehemiah. He's praying before the God of heaven. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenants and thy mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ears now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant, and for confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgment, which was commanded by thy servant Moses. Now, Nehemiah looked and saw the needs. He heard about the needs. Now, you're hearing about the needs of America tonight. America needs Jesus. Now, you say, but what can I do? One person at a time. You witness to one person at a time. Bring that person to Jesus Christ. And then train that person to do the same. And my friends, do you realize that it won't be over a month till there'll be a lot of people saved? If we just get a burden for someone and pray for that someone, and then not only pray for that someone, go to that someone and invite them to Christ. You say, but I'm afraid. Well, how did Nehemiah do it? I'm sure Nehemiah wasn't all brave and everything. I'm sure that when he sat down and prayed, God gave him the assurance that he was going to be with him. Now, God has given us assurance all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation. He's given us assurance that he's going to be with us and help us if we'll just do what he says for us to do. Nehemiah saw the needs. They shared the needs with the people. Nehemiah encouraged the people to build. They had opposition. Now, this is something that I may tarry a little while with, is opposition. That person in Texas who made them forfeit the game because he pointed his finger towards heaven. I heard just the other day that Neyland Stadium in Tennessee, the home of the Tennessee Vols, will not allow anything other than God's name in their service. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about else. Now, how are people being saved? Through the blood of Christ. That is the only way they can be saved. Now, God is great, and we admit that. God is great. He is tremendous. He's an all-loving God. He's an all-caring God. And He can do anything that He wants to do, and He will do anything that we asked Him to do if it's His will. Now, it's God's will that we do what He tells us to do. He commands us to do. Go ye therefore into all the world. See, He didn't ask you. He tells you to go ye therefore into all the world. Preaching the gospel. You don't have to be called to preach. Anybody can preach the gospel. It's just foretelling. Just telling others about Jesus Christ. Now, how did Nehemiah do all of this? He prayed. He prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he fasted. And he prayed. And he prayed. Until God gave him the answer. You know, we pray. Now, Lord, give me this burden. And that's it. Well, God didn't intend me to do this. He didn't give me the burden, so, you know, I'm free. Now, look how many times Nehemiah prayed. Look how he prayed. Often he prayed, and he fasted, and he prayed. Day and night he prayed that God would open the doors for him to go. And if you continue reading the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that God and the king, he went to the king, and the king wrote him letters to everybody. And the other countries, the governors of the country, they supplied all the material that Nehemiah needed for do the job. So if we get along with God and ask God, he's going to supply the materials that we need to do the job that he's called us to do. We need to open our eyes. We need to see what's going on in America today. When you cannot mention the name of Jesus anywhere, that's taken away from our rights. And that's what they're doing. They're taking away our rights as Christians. And what are we doing about it? Oh, well, nothing I can do about it. Now, what if Nehemiah had said that? The gates of Judea would still been burned, and they would still be in shambles. But what he did, he got on his knees in prayer, and he prayed, and he asked God, and God took care of all of his needs. And my friends, God will take care of all our needs too. They had an opposition. How many of you ever had any opposition about doing something? Have you ever tried to witness to someone? I don't want to hear that. Well, okay then. I guess I'll just go on about my business. I was told one time by an older Christian, he said, James, I'm south now. He said, James, the only Bible some people will read is you. What version are you? Think about that for just a moment. As a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, and you're around people all day long, and you're the only Bible that they will read. What version are you? Are you the Revised Standard Version? That just make light of the Word of God? Or are you the King James Version that spells out the truth and the way and the truth? So you see, we need to get along with God. We need to ask God to give us the equipment that we need to do the job. Now, we can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. But I found out one thing. God already knows our hearts. He really knows what we really mean in our hearts. Do we really want that? Are we just trying to impress somebody? And I thought about this message tonight, and I thought about it myself. I said, well, those people know you, and they know what you do, and they know how you do things. But I want to try to show you, my friend, what God can do. By not just by my mouth, but my word and my action. I want to do what God wants me to do. I've waited a long time to start doing it. But I'll tell you, when they start disqualifying people for pointing towards heaven, when they stop allowing Jesus' name to be mentioned anywhere in public, we need to start doing something. The walls are tumbled down, and the gates have been burned in America. So we really need to go. Nehemiah, they had opposition. Now let's look at chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. 19:20, chapter 2, 19:20. When Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, and Geshon the Arab heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king?" Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." The world has no right in our church. The world has no right to tell us what to do. But we listen to them because we don't listen to God. You say, "Pastor, has God ever spoke to you?" Yeah, he speaks to me all the time when I'm reading his word. I mean, how many would you would be standing upright if you heard a voice from heaven? "Hey, Jim." Not me. They're going to be finding me somewhere. But I got his word right here that tells me what I need to do as a Christian, as a child of God. And you know what he said? He promised me. He promised me that whatever I do in his name, he would go with me and strengthen me and guide me and supply my needs as I go. You say, "But I'm afraid of opposition." Well, there's one way to face the opposition is on your knees. On your knees, praying that God will give you the answer. They had opposition. And then in chapter 2 and verse 20, we see their faith. I just read that. He says, "Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build." That's faith. That's faith. That's exercising their faith. Now they prayed. Now Nehemiah prayed. Look in chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 12. No, it wasn't. I'll find it in a minute. Hang on. I got the pastor's disease. Well, anyway. Oh, yeah, I know where I'm at. I'm in the wrong chapter. Look in verse 5. Nehemiah, he said, and said, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, for thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." He prayed. He prayed. He confessed his sin, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. He fasted, and he prayed. And my friends, I think the reason why today God is not answering our prayer is we're not willing to spend the time. "Now they lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should die before I wake, I forget the rest of it." It's been a long time. But you see, that's usually our prayers. Those little quick little prayers that doesn't get no higher than this. We need to get along with God with a broken heart. Look at the walls of America, friends. They're crumbled. The gates have fallen. The gates have been burned down. And you say, "Oh, but we'll let the government handle it." What is the government? What is our governor now doing right now in Montpelier? They're playing God. They're giving people, the doctors, the right to take people's lives. Same way with the abortion clinic. They do all of that. Now that's how our government's working. We can't depend on them. We can't trust them. The only thing we can depend on them for is for them to take our taxes. And I hope Shumlin's listening tonight. Because I want to tell you something, friends. America's in a dire strait. We have the answer. As Nehemiah got along with God and prayed on his knees night and day, he prayed for the children of Israel, or Judea. And he prayed. Now, their faith and their works. Chapter 4. Y'all are going to have to read this all over and see what I'm missing. But you can see what I'm talking about. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them the prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a what? A mind to work. As I said Sunday morning, I'm not afraid of work. I can sit down by it and go to sleep and sleep by it all day long. But I think it's time to wake up. I think it's time for God's people to wake up and see the gates, they're burned. The walls are crumbled. America is falling. And we're doing absolutely nothing about it. Oh, but Pastor, we send money to the missionaries and they're doing the work. No, that wasn't what God said. He said for you and me to go. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's part of our going, is sending the missionaries. And sending the missionaries to do the job in the foreign countries. That's part of our job, is to do that. But the part of our job is right here in America, right here in Essex Junction, right here in Colchester, right in Burlington, wherever we live. That's where our mission field is, and we better get busy, my friend, because one of these days we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for what we've done and what we haven't done. What have we done lately? What have I done lately? What have you done lately to get people to Christ? You say, well, I invite people to church all the time. Listen, this is just a place for Christians to come and fellowship with other Christians. What did Paul and Silas do? They went out into the highways and to the hedges, and Jesus commanded disciples to do that. Go ye therefore into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Nehemiah, he prayed. God answered his prayer. And I want to tell you something, my friends. Tonight, when you start praying, and when you start doing something for the Lord, expect opposition. The world does not like it. Satan does not like it. And he will fight you tooth and nail all the way. But did that stop Nehemiah? Nehemiah just kept right on working. Their work of faith, their faith and work, the continual opposition in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 and 10 and 12. Now, our duty today is to fix the walls that the world has torn down. That's our duty today, is to fix the walls. Matthew chapter 26 or 28. I'm tired. No excuse, though, but I'm tired. Well, anyways, where Jesus told his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and do the things that God has called us to do. Here we go. Matthew 28, I'll get it right in a minute. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. Now, where do we get our power from? From Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we get our power. And it said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are we to teach them? We're teaching them about the love of Jesus Christ and that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. To teach them teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. How far? Even to the end of the world. So you see, we got God's promise. All we have to do is do what God has told us to do. In Mark chapter 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. Now look at that. What is the first he that what? Not baptized, but he that believeth. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And you see, he gives us the command to go. To go and be a witness. One of the greatest witnesses we can be is to live our life before others that they can see Christ in us. That's the greatest witness. That speaks louder than anything that we might say is our walk. How is your walk before the world? The opposition? Satan would have you to say, oh, well, just follow the world. I mean, that's the popular thing to do. You don't believe it? Look at all the other churches around us. They're following the world. I went to a church, and I think I told you about it. I went to a church in Oklahoma City a few years ago. I thought I was at a rock concert. Their pulpit was way up in the air, and they had, I don't know what group, rock group was there, but it had to be a rock group to play that kind of music. I mean, they were dancing up on the stage, and they was twisting and all of this, and I'm saying, this is a church? And I asked myself one question, how was God glorified in that? People down it was a church. It was seat 500 people or more. Or the building seat 500 people. I don't think it's much of a church. It was a big building. And they were down there clapping their hands. And the guy got up and he started talking about all the things that he had done. I've been to the mission field. I've done this. I helped them build this house. I helped them do this. And I want to tell you, through that whole service, I got a short memory, but on that whole service, I don't remember one time they mentioned Jesus Christ. That's not the thing to do today. That's not the popular thing to do, is to mention Jesus Christ. If you think it is, try it at work. Try it on your job. Try telling others about Jesus. I was telling them at work the other day about when Rosa took me to the hospital. And she said, asked me, what if you'd had a code? What if you coded on the way? And I said, well, I guess I'd went home to be with Jesus. And the people says, huh? What? I said, yeah, I went home to be with Jesus. How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that you'd go home with Jesus? This is God's GPS right here. And it makes no mistakes. My friends, I hope you got something out of this message tonight. I did. I got a broken heart. I got a broken heart. Honestly, truly, I got a broken heart. And I will guarantee you, I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, I'm just going to tell you, I want to do different. I want to spend more time in prayer. I want to spend more time witnessing. I want to help build the gate because it's burned down. The walls have crumbled. The gates have been burned. And the people had a what? A mind to work. And you say, oh, but the opposition, what happened with the opposition? Keep reading the book of Nehemiah. You'll find out. They worked on the wall with a trowel in one hand and their sword and their spear in the other hand. That's how they worked. They were prepared. My friends, if we work, we got the sword right by our side. This is all we need. This and the Holy Spirit dealing with our hearts and preparing the way. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And Father, we pray now that your blessings would be upon your people. And Father, we pray now that your will would be done, that you'd bless, you'd meet the needs of each and every one that's here tonight. And Father, we pray now as we go our separate ways that your watch care would be over each and every one, that you'd give them traveling mercies, and that your will would be done in their lives. And Father, I pray tonight that we'll take our place on the wall and start building for your honor and for your glory. So bless now and meet all the needs, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you very much.